Hallelujah. Please let's have a seat. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do I have apostolic youth in the house? Praise the Lord. Apostolic youth. Okay, somebody is right. Apostolic youth. Amen. I appreciate God. Can that be a bit low? Thank you. I appreciate God for this privilege. I will not take it for granted. I bless his name so much. For Alpha, he's been helping. And I want to also celebrate the leadership of this, the fellowship. Can we please celebrate our fathers on seat? The Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. I also want to celebrate every one of you for being here. We cannot be ministering to empty seats. So being here today, I know it's orchestrated by God himself. So I celebrate you too. Please celebrate yourself. Celebrate yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My assignment today is going to be a bit tasking, but I trust the Holy Spirit to help us. Please, would we be able to read scriptures on the projector? Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Because we want to read a lot of scripture. Before we pray, I'd like to read one of those scriptures that we are to talk about today. So, I am to discourse with us very briefly life after school, life after campus. So, what is God's expectation for us as far as life after campus is concerned? And at the same time, what are the things that we are expected to do as children of God? Because there's so much God has invested in us. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. So I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to be able to link it with our broad theme, which is salt and light, raising stewards to the glory of God. I'm going to be reading, the first scripture is in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm trusting God that today, what we want to discuss this hour, the first request I trusted God with while I was coming is that what I'm about to say, what we're about to discuss, there will be a witness within your spirit. That's the first, that there will be a witness, a solid witness of what we want to discuss within your spirit. That's number one. Number two is that what we want to discuss, there will be a fire will be kindled within you. A fire will be kindled so much that you will go out there and you will burn for Jesus. And then finally, another request, which is the third one, is that there will be a shift. So I've come with shovels, I've come with hammer, I've come with different chisel, so that there will be a mind shift. Your mind will shift from the status quo. Your mind will shift from what ought to be, what it is expected. Your mind will shift to what God is expecting for your life. And that is my prayer for you, and that shall be done in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 12, I read the last two verses, that is 28 and 29. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. It says, therefore, okay, are you there? Can it be displayed on the screen? Oh, very beautiful. That's amplified. Can we have maybe NIV or something? It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, what we want to discuss briefly today is going to be centered on five basic pillars. And I trust the Holy Spirit that as we are moving from one pillar to another, I'll be telling us that we have moved to another pillar, because I trust God to help us interrelate everything so that maximally you will get what God has in mind for you and for myself today in Jesus' name. The second scripture I want to read is Matthew chapter 5, I read verses 13 through to 16. Matthew 5, 13 through to 16. Do we have it? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay? It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare that your counsel will be made known among us today in the name of Jesus. You make wisdom available for us today that will participate in what you are about to give to us maximally in the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified. I submit myself under your throne today, that Lord, be seen, be heard, and be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. The introduction, which is the first pillar that I want every one of us, please listen attentively. I believe personally that your life is about to change. I believe it so much to the glory of God. From the first scripture that we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, what we have received is a kingdom. Say kingdom. I'd like you to know that the message of the Bible, if you are to give the Bible a broad theme, if you are to give a Bible, I'm a writer by the grace of God, and I understand when, you know, writing, you give themes to a whole lot of writing. And so if you are to give the Bible a broad theme, the Bible is basically about a king and his kingdom. Praise the Lord. The Bible is basically about who? A king and his kingdom. So if you want to understand the core message of the Bible and you have not started to see it in that light, you may not understand fully what the Bible teaches. Praise the Lord. If you want to understand the core message of the Bible, what did I say my assignment is? Life after school. And so we are talking about kingdom. Don't worry, just stay with me, okay? The Lord will help us. We'll get to where we are going in time, in Jesus' name. The core message of the Bible. So if you want to understand what the Bible really teaches, you have to see it in the light of a king and his kingdom. And so what we received, according to what the Bible teaches, is not religion. Praise the Lord. What we received is not religion. We didn't receive religion. What we received is a kingdom. Therefore, it says, having received a kingdom. If you read scriptures like Revelation chapter 19, verse 3, if you read scriptures like John chapter 18, verse 37, you can jot them down. Scriptures like Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, there's no time. I would have loved us to read. If you read, you know, scriptures like Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 15. Let me call those scriptures again. Scriptures like Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. Daniel chapter 7, 13 to 14. John 18, verse 36. And Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. You will see that what God is trying to sell to us in salvation is actually the concept of kingdom. Number two, the goal of God is to extend his kingdom, his influence here on earth. That is why the very first request that Jesus portrayed in what we call the model of prayer today is that thy kingdom come. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first request in what we see as the model of prayer by the master himself is what? Thy kingdom come. If the kingdom of God is established in a particular sphere, then the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God is not looking about trying to see whoever is breaking any law. No. The will of God is done perfectly in heaven. And so, for the will of God to be done on earth, the kingdom of God needs to come on earth. There has to be an extension of God's kingdom on earth. So what we are saying is that God is not a president. God is not a prime minister. God is not a governor. He wasn't elected there. God is a king. And the Bible is a story about him as the king and his kingdom. So it is his will that his sphere of influence is extended to the earth. Praise the Lord. Number three, the incarnation of God here on earth is the incarnation of a king. The wise men, what did they tell Herod? He says, we are looking for the person that is what? That is born king. The incarnation of God is the appearance or the emergence of a king. And so, you will see Revelation describing Jesus as the King of Kings. When you look at the trials that Jesus passed through, when you look at it, the Bible made us understand that when all those, the Caiaphas, the high priest, and, you know, Herod, you know, when they were trying Jesus, there were differences in Jesus' response. At some point, Jesus would not respond because the people that were trying him were religious leaders. And what I said, Jesus did not bring religion to us. What he brought was what? Was kingdom. But when Pilate came to the scene, the Bible did not tell us that Jesus did not see anything. He responded. He said, do you know I'm able to deliver you? Jesus said, he says, my kingdom is not. He said, oh, so you are a king. He said, you have said so. He said, but my kingdom is not here. He says, if I were to fight for myself, he said, my people, they will come from where they used to come from and they will deliver me. So Jesus was responding because the subject was about a king and his kingdom. But when the religious leaders were, you know, were throwing questions at him, were throwing banters at him, he didn't respond. Because it's not about the subject of religion. It's about the subject of kingdom. So I said that the incarnation of God himself portrays a king that is born. Please follow me, okay? God is about to change your life. I believe that so much. Please follow me. Like I said, I've come with armors. You need, your mind needs to shift at use of Christ Apostolic Church. You need to, your mind needs to shift from what it used to be to what God wants it to be. Like I said today, I'm not after being deep. I just want to be right. So you might not hear any deep rhema. Eh? You might not hear anything of such. I just want to what? I just want to be right. I don't have to be deep today. So if you are looking for deep that you're right, no, you might not hear anything of such. I just want to be right. I just want to talk about what the scripture is saying. Do you understand? Amen. Now, let me give you another one. The purpose of the coming of Jesus is to restore the kingdom of God here on earth. That's the purpose. That was why in the book of Matthew, is it chapter 4 now? The very first proclamation of Jesus as an evangelist was that repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The message of Jesus. You know, today people preach about Jesus, but we don't balance it with the message of Jesus. This is what I'm saying. It's different to preach about Jesus heals, Jesus delivered, Jesus sets free. That is the message about Jesus. But I'm talking about balancing it with the message that Jesus preached. And the center of the message that Jesus preached is what? The message of the kingdom. He says the kingdom of God is like a man. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things. At some point, they accused him of using evil spirit to chase out another spirit. He said, if I do this by the hand of God, know that what is here. He said, know that the kingdom of God is in your midst. That's his message. So his core message is to restore us to the kingdom of God. Is to restore God's influence over our lives. Like I said, the word kingdom is a combination of two words. A king and his domain. More like king domain. Kingdom. King domain. So, kingdom is a sphere of influence of a certain king. For instance, the Alaafin of Oyo doesn't have a domain here in Ibadan. Do you know why? Because his domain, his kingdom, his rulership is not within this jurisdiction. Are you following me? And so, if the rulership of the Alaafin of Oyo must break through the barriers of Ibadan, they must come and take Ibadan. They must come and take Ibadan, probably take Kabiyesi captive, so that he can now extend his influence. So you can now say that the kingdom of Oyo is the kingdom of Ibadan is an extension of the kingdom of Oyo. That is simply what Jesus came to do, to extend God's influence here on earth, so that you can sit in your closet and you can call the presence of God down. You can call the influence, you can trap the presence of God in a particular location. We are talking about life after school. Don't worry, I may not tell you when you get out, go and learn a skill. The world is very rough. You can Google that on YouTube and you will see a lot of message. But I'm just here to tell you what God has asked me to tell you. So apologies if I'm disappointing you, okay? That is what God wants us to know. The core message of Jesus is to extend God's kingdom here on earth. Number five, the ultimate goal of God is to reestablish his kingdom here on earth. Listen to me. Look up. Listen to me. If this, my phone, falls from this pew, if I am to restore it, if I restore it here, it's not restoration. Are you listening to me? If I put it here, it is not restoration. If I put it on my head, yes, I picked it from the floor, but I put it on my head, it's not restoration. Why? Because that was not where it fell from. But if I put it here, please, I say this, and I'm trusting God that you will not misunderstand me, that when man fell, man didn't fall from heaven. Man fell and lost the kingdom of God. And so, if heaven, listen to me, please don't misunderstand me, just listen. Please be open, okay? Open. When man fell, if heaven is the only reason why God, Jesus came, the moment you gave your life to Christ, God will, you will just die. You will go home. Are you listening to me? So man did not fall from heaven. Man fell and lost a kingdom. That was why Jesus, according to the scripture we now read, that we have received what? A kingdom that cannot be moved. Remember I said that if you want to really, really understand what the Bible teaches, you need to look at it from the standpoint of a king and his kingdom. Praise the Lord. I want us to read Matthew chapter 18 verse 23. Very quickly, Matthew chapter 18 verse 33. Is it from here? Okay. I think I'm back on. Thank you, sir. Matthew chapter 18, verse 33. The Bible says that truly I tell you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loose. Okay, sorry, Matthew 18, 23. Yeah. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts. Now, I kept on saying that Jesus will be saying the kingdom of, if he wants to give any parable, say the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is up there, but the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Okay, I just want to balance that. Now, and so in my opinion, if you see, there are some Bible interpretations that God is it metaphor now? God compares himself with some things. some animals preferably. And what animal did God compare himself with? A lion and an eagle. If you check these two animals, they are kings in their spheres. I think that's to drive home, you know, my point. Now, there are some people that if you want to take the message of the gospel out there, there is this status quo that is expected from Christ Apostolic Church, especially youth. It's we need deliverance, and that is this denominational idea of living our lives, that we don't care if truly we are it, but we don't mind if only we look it. Please listen to me very well. What I'm saying is, we don't care if we are it, but we don't mind if only we look it. So if we look it, we expect to be accepted. But we don't care if we are it, if we are truly it. That thing should change from all of you tonight. Say amen. Amen. Let's quickly talk about characteristics of a king. We are moving to the second pillar now. The first characteristics of a king is that the word of a king is law. You don't debate it. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is what is settled." Psalm 119 verse 89. The word of a king is law. Number two, kingship is by birth. Kingship is by birth. A king is not elected into office. A king is not democratic, so you can't impeach him. It's by birth. Like I said, I think in Matthew chapter 2 verse 2, it says we are looking for the person that is born king. Number three, the glory of a king is what expresses his nature. Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2, it says, "The heavens declares the glory of the Lord, and the firmament show forth his handiwork." It says, "Day unto day utter speech." Eh? So, the glory of a king is what it displays his nature. Now, in light of everything I've said now, I want you to shift your mind towards what our topic is: life after school. With the mentality that you've got now, that you are sons and daughters of a king. Let me give you the last point. If a king does not die, another king will not come to power. Another king will not sit on the throne. Now, let me now tell you, this is why God had to extend his reign here on earth, his kingdom here on earth. Do you know that God cannot die? Do you believe God cannot die? Okay. And God is called the King of Kings. So when are you and I going to be king if God cannot die? When we said that if a king does not die, another one does not come to power. When are you going to be king that the Bible now calls Jesus the King of Kings? Now, there was a time in the history of, is it Portugal now, that you know, it was Portugal that colonized Brazil. Yeah? That the royal family in Brazil, the king of Brazil, you know, the prince wants to be king. He was eager to, I'm just trying to paraphrase the story. He was eager to be king. He was, but as long as the king stays alive, the prince will remain a prince. So he had to take Brazil and sent him to Brazil to become a king. Now listen, anytime the king goes to Brazil, the son becomes a prince. But anytime he leaves Brazil, he becomes a king. And so, when we get to heaven, you will remain a prince, you remain sons. But the reason God had to extend his reign here on earth is that so that you can rule and dominate as kings here on earth. Do you understand what I've just said? And so you are entering into the world not as slaves. You are entering into the world not to go and join the rat race. Some people will say we are going to the labor market. As a king, You are going to the labor market as a king. Do you see kings in the labor market? Eh? Do you see kings in the labor market? Uh-huh. So God had to extend his dominion here and that so that he can put you there. So you can reign in his stead. That was why in the Bible, anytime clouds descend, the priest will not be able to perform there, because at that point, the king is here. So nobody will be able to do anything. But when the king goes, you know, the king can pashe, you know. But as long as it is here on earth, the Bible says the heavens of heavens belongs to God. And the earth has he given to who? Are we together? So that's the idea that I want to sell to you. I want to infect you with my virus tonight. So that you will go, your mind, there will be a shift as you are going out there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The earth is where God intends for you to rule. The earth is where God intends for you to rule. In his prayer or in his blessing, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, he says, let them have what? Dominion. Let them have dominion. So, in case you are still being oppressed by a demon, eh? It's because you don't have the knowledge, the understanding of who you are as a king here on earth. He says, let them have dominion. He now started to say, over this, over this, over this, over this. Say, let them have dominion. So that is the purpose of God. Let me give you a few points to note. I've already switched to the second pillar. I said, I trust God to give us the grace. Now, listen to this. Now you know who you are in Christ. Now you know that as long as you are in this earth realm, God expects you to have dominion. God expects you to live as kings. There are some things a king cannot do. For instance, a king cannot walk on the path of sinners. A king cannot sit in the seat of the scornful. A king cannot just do anyhow. Have you seen it anywhere? You know, on social media nowadays is on Ifife, right? You cannot just see him talk anyhow. You cannot see him do anyhow because he understands who he is. But the children of the King of Kings, or the king, who has kings over, they are the people who talk anyhow. They are the people who behave anyhow. Because they don't know who they are. And so they believe when they get out there, they have to go and compete with the world. Instead of them to enter the world as kings that they are, as royalties that they are. The book of, is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter now? It says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. So our royalty is with priesthood. Are we together, please? So the first thing I want you to note down is that God being the King of Kings, your yieldedness to the king will determine how yielding your subject will be to you. You may think you understand what I said, but please listen. How you are able to yield to your king is directly proportional to how your subjects will yield to you. You remember we said you are a king. Have you wondered why your academics is not yielding to you? Why you still read and you forget? Have you wondered why you invest in a business, but business you eventually, you know, find yourself losing? Why your career is not yielding to you? Could it be that you have not yet yielded to the king? You have not yet submitted yourself wholeheartedly to the king. So I said that your yieldedness to your own king is directly proportional to how your own subjects, being your career, your business, whatever you lay your hands to do, those are your subjects. Those things are supposed to come at your beck and call. Those things are supposed to tick when you want them to tick. But if you are not yielded to the king, those things will not yield to you. So that's the first point I want you to note. The second point is, in this kingdom, we don't have owners. In this kingdom, we don't have what? The young rich man, when he got to Jesus, He said, what do I do to be saved? Jesus said, do this, do this, do this. He said, I've been doing all these things. Jesus looked at him. Jesus said, you are still a owner. He said, go and sell everything that you have and follow me. Give to the poor and follow me. What Jesus was trying to tell him is, you are still a owner. But in the message I brought, I am the only owner. I am the Lord. Do you know the meaning of Lord? The owner. That's the meaning of Lord. A lot of you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you have not yet accepted him as your Lord, the owner of your life. We sing a song that we lie. All I have is given to me by the Lord. All I have is given to me by the Lord. But God is still struggling with your money. God is still struggling with your time. God is still struggling with your talent. Hallelujah. So, in this kingdom, we only have stewards. We don't have owner. There is only one owner. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So as you go out there, have this at the back of your mind that whatever I have, whatever I possess, whatever I'm given dominion over, I am only a steward that will give account to the real owner, the original owner. In fact, the only owner. If you're outside the kingdom of God, you know, we are talking about kingdom here. So if you're I won't chase you if you are outside of the kingdom. But as long as you are still in this kingdom, we don't have owners. We don't have owners. So as you go out there, carry this mentality with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, the will of the king is priority first. The will of the king is priority first. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. What did he say? He says what? Seek ye first. Seek ye first the will of the king. Seek ye first. I mean, there is this man at the beautiful gate that Peter and John, is it Peter and John now? That Peter and John met at the beautiful gate. The Bible recorded, listen to me, the Bible recorded that that man, they used to bring him there. How often? Every time. But Jesus used to go to the temple, Abby. Eh? What happened to the man at the beautiful gate? That man at the beautiful gate is not the curriculum of Jesus according to the will of the king. Are you following me? Okay. The destitute at the pool of Bethesda. How many destitute were there? One. Eh? So many. How many did Jesus heal? That means in his curriculum, according to the will of the king, is only that man. The rest, he left it for us. So, Acts chapter 10 verse 38 now told us that how God has anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. He says he went about doing good, healing all. How can the Bible be so bold to use all when he was leaving some for us? That means if two is what the king gives you and the option you have is 100, if you pick three, you are not doing the will of the king. Did you read the parable of the talent? He gave one 5, he gave one 2, he gave one 1. One returned 5, 100%. One returned 2, 100%. If the other one had returned 1, it will still have been how many percent? That is how the king works. So the will of the king is number one, is what you prioritize. So people say a lot of this, say, I want to do something, I'm carrying God along. God is too big to be carried along. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In how many of your ways? In all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. So that means, this means to me, this is my personal opinion, I'm not saying it's cast in stone. That means if you need direction, it's not a prayer point. Don't pray for direction. Acknowledge God in all your ways. According to what the Bible says, he said, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he, that's the ripple effect of acknowledging him in all your ways, is that what? He will direct your path. So direction shouldn't be what you go to the mountain to. The thing is, have you even the choice to go to the mountain? Is it his will? So if you go to the mountain to seek direction, you have broken the first principle. And God is a God of what? Principle. So I said that the will of the king is number one. Priority. Matthew chapter 3, the last verse, the Bible said after Jesus was baptized, he said Jesus being led of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then I see there is no correlation. Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted by the devil. Excuse me. Jesus now fasted for 40 days. 40 whole days. And the first voice he heard was that of the devil. 40 days and 40 nights. It was not an angel that he heard. But that was the will of the one that is paddling his life. That was the will of the Father, is that he be tempted by the devil specifically. So as you go out there, if there is anything that you seek with the whole of your life, it is the will of the Father. We would have read a lot of scripture here, but I want us to read specifically together Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 to 33. Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 to 33. Jesus was asking some question there. There's something Jesus was trying to make us understand there. So I will just read from here. I want you to follow me. I'll move very fast because my time is almost up. Matthew chapter 6. If God is blessing you, shout hallelujah. It says, therefore. So out there, please listen to me. Out there is full of worries. It's full of anxieties. It's full of, what does God want for me? What do I do? How do I want to make money? How do I want to make this? How do I want to do that? Out there is full of anxiety. But Jesus is saying what? He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. So in this kingdom, we don't worry. Huh? Do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is life not more than food, or the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. Jesus now started, you know, picking examples. The birds. What else do birds do? Anybody? What else do birds do? They fly. But Jesus said, they don't plant, they don't sow, they don't reap. But God is taking care of them. What message are you getting from them? What else do fishes do? They just swim. What are flowers made for? To display beauty, right? But they are here today and they are gone tomorrow. Jesus is talking about the fact that the only will of God for your life is just to follow your purpose and keep doing it. The purpose of bird is to do what? It's to fly. The purpose of a fish is to do what? It's to swim. The purpose of flower is to do what? Man made this microphone like this, Abby. Why? So the microphone is fulfilling purpose. The chair you sat on, many of you didn't check if it had three or two legs. What did you do? You just sat on it. That chair is fulfilling purpose. So as you go out there, what you should seek after to do with the whole of your heart is your purpose. As you do it, Jesus said, all other things will be added. He says, don't worry about a lot of things that people are worrying about, crypto, CBEX. Just fulfill, just find your purpose and fulfill it. Just discover your purpose in him. Jesus was now calling birds, fish. See, these people, they don't sow, they don't reap. They don't do any other thing rather than do what they are meant to do. Rather than fulfill what God has created them to fulfill. So what's your purpose? I believe nobody's purpose is to go and join the labor market. What's your purpose in God? As kings, as priests, what's your purpose in God? What have you discovered as your purpose? What can you... Jesus was telling... Is it John chapter 5 now? He was telling the disciples when they went to get food for him while he was talking with that woman. He was saying... He said, Master, have you... He said, I have meat that you know nothing about. He said, my meat is to do the... So have you discovered that thing that can replace food in your life? That thing that you can call meat. Have you discovered it? That you can say, this is my meat. That when you are doing it, you lose every sense of tiredness. You lose every sense of hunger. If nobody is appreciating you, you don't mind. Because what? Is your meat, is your food. That is all God expects of you. That is all God expects of you. So when you go out there, what you should look out for is what? How do I fulfill my purpose? You see, let me quickly jump to the third pillar. I call it the purpose model. Please put up Daniel chapter 11 verse 32b. The purpose model. I will move very fast now. You see, a lot of people, a lot of youths nowadays, they are struggling with, what do I do? God, what do I do? But let me tell you what God is concerned about. God is first and foremost concerned about who he wants you to be. Do we have it there? Daniel chapter 33, 11 verse 33b. Daniel chapter 11 verse 33b. So when you get out there as salt, the Bible says, what the only thing a salt does is to do what? To salt. Eh? The only thing a light does is to do what? Shine. Can I use this to eat? Can I use it to eat? What is the purpose? To shine. So you are salt and you are light. When you get out there, the only thing you need to do is to go and shine. Let's look at the purpose model. Do we have it? Daniel chapter 11. We all know it. Can we cross it together? It says, those who know their God shall and do exploits. Now, if the Bible is yours, you can understand, you can underline know, be, and do. That is what I call the purpose model. So, that means what it starts from is knowledge. Those who know. Knowledge. That is the very first stage of what God. So, in everything you do, invest in knowledge. There are a lot of TikTok. When you engage youth, when I sometimes I say this with every sense of responsibility, when I engage people of my generation, you see how shallow they will just water down the conversation. Why? It's because the internet, invest in knowledge. Invest in, Jesus said, in all you're getting. He said, invest in knowledge. Because that's where it starts from. The second one now talks about those who know shall be. What our fathers are doing today, they didn't start by doing it. They started by knowing. And so they became it. And then doing comes naturally. Today, people want to do, but that's only the first, that's the third stage. There's still one more stage. We are going there. That's only the third stage. The stage of doing. You see, a man of God will come now, will be dishing out rhema, will be healing the sick. That was not where he started from. People today, youths, they want to get out there, they want to command thousands of crowd, but that's not where he started from. He started from knowing. Those who know shall, they now became it. If you see a medical doctor, what do? The person is, so to speak, is doing medicine. Why? Because he first and foremost became a medical doctor before he can be sanctioned to do. If you see an engineer, he first and foremost became an engineer before he started to practice engineering. But Christians today, they want to do first what they have not become. And that's why you see people visit Nana today. You know who Nana is. Eh? They try to add one or two things together. Why? Because they believe that it is just about doing. No. That mustn't be our culture. Christ Apostolic Church youth, that mustn't be our culture. We must be a people that is invest. Today, I was telling our father, Pastor Laira, how I would go from work. By the grace of God, I have work I'm doing. I have business by the grace of God. But, you know, sometimes the only time you have to sleep is between a window of 2-3 hours. That's the only time you have to sleep in like a week. Just 2-3 hours. Because you have to jump on this. You have to jump on this. They have to call you for this. You know, anytime anybody remembers a problem or has a problem and you don't come to mind, it shows that if you leave the scene, people will not miss you. Are you getting my point? If I have a problem and you don't come to mind, it shows that if you leave the scene, nobody will miss you. But like I told you, the purpose why God saved you is not so that you will come to heaven. Because if that was the purpose, the day you gave your life to Christ, you are on your way. But he said you will make impact, you will dominate here. And how do you dominate? The first tool you will use in dominating is when you achieve your purpose. When you notice, And then you start investing in knowledge. Then you now become it before you now start to do. Praise the Lord. Let me move very fast. I said the first stage. So like I said, the very first stage is the stage of knowing. Knowledge. If you have knowledge, okay, there's no knowledge. You can spell knowledge. You see that, thank you, thank you. If you see that knowledge, K-N-O-W-L-E-D-G-E, when you analyze the spelling, you see that it started with the first no, then there is a stroke, then edge. So what knowledge gives you is what? Edge. When you know, you have edge. So what do you know? Ask her. What do you know? In fact, what do you know about yourself? Invest in knowledge. I'm rounding off. Let me give you this business model. I actually plan to give two, but I'll just give one. When you get out there, Genesis chapter 1, can we have Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28? Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. You see, all those, you must add value. You must learn a skill. You can see all those ones in YouTube. The message I came to bring to you is the message that God has put in my heart. Genesis chapter 1, let's have verses 27 and 28. I said the first stage is what? Knowledge. The second stage is what? Becoming. The third stage is what? Doing. And the last stage is having. So, you have to start to know, then become, then do, then have. A lot of you want to have Bugatti. I know. You want to have a lot of things. So let's look at this. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them. What was the first one? Be. So now, man has already have a knowledge that I am the image of God. So the first blessing that proceeded from the mouth of God, God moved straight to stage two. Because you already know yourself as the image of God. So God moved to stage two. He says, become fruitful. So you can even start from here. I said it's a business model, right? Start producing something now. Start producing something. Many of you have a skill that people can pay any amounts to learn. Put a flyer out there. I will teach you. But the thing about it is, you can teach them what the skill is. Teach them the what for free. Teach them the where for free. Teach them what it will solve for free, but keep the how when they pay. Should I repeat that? Okay. Teach them what for free. Eh? Teach them where for free. Teach them what it will solve. The why. Thank you, Daddy. Teach them the why for free, but keep the how till they pay. So he said, be fruitful. Then, the second blessing, I could have said, be multiply, but it's not correct. I would rather say, do multiply. Abi, am I allowed to put the do? So multiplication is a verb. He said, do multiply. So can you see the doing? When you have already become fruitful, you start multiplying. So that thing that you have produced, how do you expand it? Eh? Many of you can make liquid soap. But, don't tell me. You can expand it. Put a good brand on it. Put it to the market. Then the next one is what? Do replenish. I said, allow me to put do. Eh? You know, we are saying do. Eh? Do replenish. You know, find a way to sneak it into the market. And then the next one is what? Do. You can subdue the market enough. Dangote has subdued the market long enough. And let me tell you, these people are following this business model. Oh. There was a day I was reading one of Dangote's article. He was talking about, he said, production, manufacturing is better than retail. Although manufacturing is capital intensive, but it's still better than retail. This is, he's talking about this business model. When you are fruitful, you produce, you increase, you multiply, you replenish, you now fill the earth. He now said, do what? Then what's the last one? The last one is what? So people don't start by having. Hallelujah. So when you get out there, have this mentality that what? People don't start by what? By having. People start by knowing. And then becoming. And then doing. And then having. The Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Praise Almighty Jesus.